Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Nice to see you all here. Not a very nice day, I'm afraid, but never mind. Is it warm in here? Good. Notices first. Just to remind everybody, the notices are here for you to take away, not to leave on the back there, so you can peruse them during the week. Okay? Thank you. So, just the important bits. We've got a card machine that everybody knows about now. The Wickham Homeless Connection, big sleep out at Adams Park on the 26th of November. Shoeboxes will be collected during the first hymn, and we've got some, I hope we have some volunteers to bring them up. It's all about shoeboxes there, isn't it? Sunday the 6th of November, memorial service at Holy Trinity at 3 o'clock for people who've lost loved ones recently and whatever. And quiz night is the Saturday the 12th of November in the parish rooms. And you'll see that it's £10 per person. That's fine. And the Christmas Tree Festival at Holy Trinity is on the 3rd and 4th of December. So you'll see all of those, and you can peruse them and take the sheet away with you to do that. Can we first start with our prayer for the interregnum? It's on your sheet. So, gracious God, you are with us always. We thank you for guiding us by your Spirit through our life together as church. We pray that we may hear your voice in this time of interregnum. Grant us patience, grant us vision, and grant us courage as we seek a new priest for our two churches. And by your grace, lead us to be a more Christ-like church, a church that is compassionate and courageous, because we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thank you. Our first hymn is How Deep the Father's Love for Us, 780.
Thank you.
stand, let's pray for the use of those boxes and where they're going and who they're going to. So Lord, we ask you to bless these boxes, but particularly bless the people who are receiving them. We ask, Lord, that you would bless this church as it hopes and prays that it will be in good measure. Amen.
Amen.
Do sit down. So we take up our sheets. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Loving Lord Jesus, we have come to sing to you, to pray to you, and hear you speaking to us. Help us to know that you are with us now and always. Amen. Now we come to our confession. Are we perfect?
No.
No, we are not perfect. We are in need of forgiveness. Because only if we are forgiven can we enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Let us bring our secret sins to his light and confess them to him. O God, our gracious Father, you know us as we really are. You know our selfishness, our anger and resentment, our fear and laziness, our hardness of heart, our need to bless you. Father, we have failed you often and ask your forgiveness. Help us to live that others may know your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We are forgiven. Isn't that wonderful? We are forgiven people. The Lord has forgiven us, and he can, because he died for us. He died for our transgressions. So we say the collect, I say the collect. God, our refuge and strength, bring near the day when war shall cease and poverty and pain shall end, that earth may know the peace of heaven through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now we sing that lovely chorus, Majesty. And we will sing it twice. 3, 7, 9.
Majesty, worship his majesty, Jesus, for God.
Please be seated. And we have readings from Christine and Roger and Christine, who will read the Bible to us.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Job, chapter 19, beginning to read at verse 23. Just four verses, but very profound. Oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead, or engraved in rock forever. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh, I will see God. I myself will see him with mine own eyes. I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 1. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers and sisters, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by the teaching allegedly from us, whether by a prophecy, or by word of mouth, or by letter, asserting that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. This is the word of the Lord.
A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 20. Some of the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus with a question. Teacher, they said, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no children, the man must marry the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers. The first one married a woman and died childless. The second, then the third married her. In the same way, the seven died, leaving no children. Finally, the woman died too. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since the seven are married to her? Jesus replied, "The people of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy of taking part of the age to come and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage. And they can no longer die, for they are like angels. They are God's children, since they are children of the resurrection." But in the account of the burning bush, even Moses showed that the dead rise. For he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. For to him, all are alive. Some of the teachers of the law responded, "Well said, teacher," they said. And no one dared ask him any more questions. The great Christian author G.K. Chesterton once said, "When people stop believing in God, they don't believe in nothing, they believe in everything." We see the evidence for this every day, in the cults that people follow, in the crazy things that come out of the mass media, in the casual comments we sometimes hear from our friends. When people stop believing in God, they don't believe in nothing, they believe in anything. I'm reminded of a quotation by Rick Warren, who wrote The Purpose-Driven Church. "Some people are so open-minded, their brains fall out." I was also reminded of an article by Stephen Bates. He talked about the withering of the old traditions that help people to deal with death, and new traditions that are creeping in to take their place. He talked about theme funerals designed around things that the deceased used to enjoy, golf or bowling or boxing. He talked about people being buried with their mobile phones. When people stop believing in God, they don't believe in nothing, they believe in anything. There was, however, a touching note in that article. He mentioned the couple whose two-year-old son died. The mother said that she could not imagine life without him. But then she said, "The traditions that we follow, maybe, will help us survive." That was the most real thing in the whole article. It's what our traditions are all about. Do they give us strength and help us to survive? A Christian funeral reminds us that death is not the end, that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us, and that Jesus has promised to come back and take us to himself. A Christian funeral gives us hope that we'll see our loved ones again. It helps us to look forward to the day when we will move from the earthly life to the heavenly one. We might ask the question, what is heaven like? Before John's death, God gave him a vision of the heavenly kingdom. We find it portrayed in detail in the book of Revelation. John said that heaven is cubed shape. 1,500 miles to the side and 1,500 miles high. He talked about walls built of jasper, adorned with jewels. He talked about 12 great gates, each carved from a single pearl. He talked about streets paved with pure gold, transparent gold, clear as glass. He talked about the river of the water of life flowing through the city, with the trees of life lined on the river banks. What's that all about? It seems to be nonsense. But perhaps we shouldn't take it too literally. Perhaps John was seeing a vision of something unlike anything he'd ever seen before, and was trying to describe it using the best words that he had. Imagine trying to describe the colour red to someone who has been blind from birth. Try as we might, we can't expect to communicate what the colour red means to someone who's never seen colour. John was trying to describe the indescribable. He had no choice but to use ordinary words to tell us about something that was anything but ordinary. What John really accomplished was to help us understand that the heavenly kingdom is beautiful. Beautiful beyond our ability to imagine. He succeeded in giving us a glimpse into a world that we are not yet prepared to see or understand. We get a bit of that in the gospel today. The Sadducees, Jesus' enemies, were trying to trap him into a trick question. To understand their question, we must first understand that when a married but childless man died, Jewish law required his brother to marry the widow and to give her a child by which the dead brother could be remembered. That might or might not seem to be a good law to us, but a day when the widows were helpless and penniless, it served good purpose. The Sadducees, who didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead, posed this scenario to Jesus. A man died, and his brother married the widow, then the brother died, and another brother married the widow, and that kept going until seven brothers had married the woman, then the woman died. The Sadducees asked the question, therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of them will she be? For the seven had her as a wife. The Sadducees were hoping that Jesus, in answering their question, would get himself wrapped round the axle, that his answer would give them a chance to ask another trick question, and they could make him look foolish. Sounds like the House of Commons, doesn't it? But Jesus gave an answer they hadn't expected. His answer gives us a tiny glimpse into heaven. It wasn't the answer they expected. Frankly, it's an answer that many people wouldn't welcome. Jesus said, the children of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy to attain that age and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. So Jesus says that in heaven people don't marry. Some people will welcome the news, but most people won't be so glad. Happily, married people would like to keep a good thing going, and most single people are still hoping. John had seen a glimpse of something so completely different that he had trouble describing it. Something similar might be true of Jesus' comment that there will be no marriage in heaven. Perhaps Jesus is giving us a tiny glimpse into the heavenly realm, too small a glimpse for us to truly understand. But he told us something that what it wouldn't be. It wouldn't be marriage. But he didn't tell us what it would be. C.S. Lewis told a story about an artist who was thrown into prison. Her only light came from a high window, and she couldn't see outside. The woman gave birth to a son in prison, and as her son grew, she tried to explain the outside world to him. Wheat fields, mountains, ocean waves breaking on the shore. The boy couldn't understand. So the women started doing pencil sketches for him, drawing wheat fields, mountains and ocean waves. But the boy still didn't understand. He thought the world outside was made up of charcoal grey lines on folded paper. And it didn't seem specially wonderful to him. That story is a parable. It tells us there is something out there beyond our understanding. Like wheat fields and mountains and ocean waves, it is beautiful. Joy waits us, joy beyond our imagination. We need not to get caught up in the details, but need only to trust our Heavenly Father, and he will provide for us in ways too wonderful to imagine. I've got a little demo now. I'm just going to come down and show it to you. It's a tapestry. You like it?
Yeah.
Lovely?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yes, tapestry. Made up of sewing. Lovely, isn't it? Beautiful. It's made of silk, actually. Yeah, wonderful, isn't it? Wonderful on that side. But what's on the other side? I'll turn it round. It's not very nice, is it? It's horrible, isn't it? There we are, come back again. Not very nice at all, is it? Interesting, isn't it? One side's fantastic. The other side is, bit of a mess, isn't it? Okay. Right. The top side of the needlework is almost beautiful, but the underside is often not beautiful. A little girl was walking with her father on a beautiful clear night when the stars were shining brightly. They walked along in silence for some time and enjoyed their walk together and the quiet of the night and the beauty of the sky. But then the girl turned to her father and said, I've been wondering, if the wrong side of heaven is so beautiful, what will the right side be? Interesting, isn't it? Children give us a lot of wisdom, don't they? The wrong side is beautiful, what will the right side be? Beyond our imagination, but beautiful beyond our imagination. So let's not get caught in the details. Let's instead trust God. Let us look forward to the wonderful surprises that he has in store for us. Prizes beyond our imagination. Amen. And our hymn now is How Lovely on the Mountains, 192.
Who brings good news?
remain standing, we join together in saying what we believe. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and lives us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Jean will come and pray for us.
Let us pray to the great God of heaven who stands among us now. Dear God, you are the God of the living. In death you meet us and take us to live eternally. Help us to believe there are no dead people, only passed through and are now fully alive, children of the resurrection. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Heavenly God, as the earthly part of your church, we come before you with our thanks and praise for your living presence amongst us. In our worship together and in our separate times of prayer, we thank you for bringing the joy of heaven to earth as you lift us into your presence. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Gracious God, in November, the natural world is closing down for winter. The days are shorter and a chill slides under the door. Help us not to close down our hopes and dreams, our warmth and welcome. Keep us hospitable to others and open to you. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Father, this afternoon we hold our annual memorial service for all those we know of who have lost loved ones. May those attending find hope and comfort in you and know their loved one has eternal peace in your loving arms. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of life and peace, to those who are losing heart, give your heavenly encouragement and patience. To the young and vulnerable, give heavenly protection. To the ill and damaged, give heavenly healing and inner peace as you touch our lives with yours. We especially pray for John Watts, who is going into the Heights at Downley on Tuesday. Jean and Paul Ricketts, daughter-in-law Amanda, still undergoing chemo for stage 4 cancer, and Caden Edwards awaiting his next treatment. And we take a moment of silence to bring before you those we know personally who need our prayers at this time. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, lead us through this month with faith, hope, and love. And now we say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Jean. And now our offertory hymn, 1346, In Christ Alone. In Christ Alone. standing. We face each other over the aisle. And we say, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, evermore. Amen. Thank you. And the love of God of Jesus draws to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthens us in his service. The joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us and be with us all and all whom we love, now and always. Amen. Coffee time.